Ephesians chapter 4. Now today is going to be a little bit of a testimonial as we take a look at God's Word, something that I've been learning, something that it took me a long time to learn this little detail. Maybe my thoughts and learning would be something that can be encouraging to you, and maybe you don't have to worry about waiting 50 years to learn this detail. And maybe at the end of the service, you may say, well, Glenn, you don't know what you're talking about. And that's okay. It's a learning process. But Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to go ahead and look at verses 17 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, and it says, "And this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walked, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. God and Father, we thank you again for your holy word. It is inspired. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides. It teaches. It's good for reproof. And of course, it's good for encouragement. Pray that the few minutes we consider these verses here, the exhortation by the Apostle Paul, we pray that they would be an encouragement to us as we continue walking in this world until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to rapture us, to be with him. We offer these things now in the name of our precious Savior. Amen. Well, as far as the outline is concerned, what I'd like to do is look at four little aspects. They'll just take a few minutes for us to consider. I'd like us to consider the combatants. The second thing was, there's a problem that I experienced, and I think you experienced the same thing. The third thing is going to be, but there is a solution to the problem. But once you know the solution, it's no good sitting on the solution. What I want to encourage you with is a strategy. Knowing the solution gives us an opportunity for a strategy. Now, one little story I was thinking of when I began working with Deloitte as a tax accountant after I had picked up my CPA, I remember that one of the partners there who was over my over my area asked me to formulate an official Deloitte response to a tax question by a customer. She didn't tell me anything. She didn't tell me where the regs were. She didn't tell me the format. And I was really frustrated. Why would you ask me to do something and not equip me and not give me the tools to be able to carry it out? There's a little aspect here, and I say this very reverently, there's a little aspect that God asks us to do that I get frustrated. I've been frustrated for years as a young person, and finally it's beginning to make a little sense. So I'd like to share that little sense with you for just a minute. First thing I'd like to do is take a look at the idea of the combatants, and we already saw it in these verses a tiny bit, but I'd like to just give a couple illustrations. There's me, and I gave a little picture of the little guy up there, but we also learn from verses, and specifically I'm going to look at verses 20 to 24, but in verse 22 it tells me to lay aside the old self, and so what I would recommend to you, I've got an old self up there. It influences me. And we find also that if we are a child in the Lord Jesus Christ, we end up having a new nature. And so I've got an old nature and a new nature. But it's important to realize as we do this that this is after salvation. So let me just back up one slide. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only you and the nature that you were born with. And that nature that you were born with desires sinful things: cheating, lying, lust, deceit, murder, adultery, all kinds of sins. They are the result of that old nature that I showed you up on the screen. You might be able to do nice things, but God's word tells us anything in this condition, with only the old man, anything good that you do is as filthy rags. They are worthless in the grand scheme. They cannot do anything in terms of salvation. But then think back to that time when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember having grown up in a Christian home. I did all the right things. I looked like a Christian. I got baptized and I was participating. But you know, one night at a campfire at one of the Bible camps that I was at, one of the directors came up to me 20 minutes before and he says, "Glenn, would you share your testimony tonight?" For the first time in my life, I realized that I did not have a story. I did not have a story of when God and me came together and I believed Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't do much about it that night, except I was really creative in coming up with a story. Because, of course, I was a good Christian boy, and I was not going to fall down on this little minor detail, and so I had a story. I kept that story going for a while. It was a pretty good run on the press, if you want to put it that way. But I did not have life. But it wasn't until I was 16, sitting at the table with some of the young people in our neighborhood, and my parents were leading a Bible study. We were talking that night about eternal security, and we were looking at the Gospel of John, and it clearly said, if you believe, you have everlasting life. Wow. My eyes opened wide because all of a sudden, I thought back to that campfire, didn't have a story, and it dawned on me. I had never believed. I believed over and over again for 3 nights. I didn't know if I did it the right way. And I pleaded with God to save me. And on that third night, the verse came back. If you believe, you have everlasting life. That, I was already saved at that point, because I got saved the first time I believed. But God had to work with me through that process. When I believed, we come again to the second slide that I showed here, something special happened. Outwardly, the me didn't change a bit. And the old nature, it was still there. But God made a new creation with me. And I ended up having a new man or a new nature that was now within me. You know, I sit there and think back to that time. I'll tell you one thing, and that is, it would have been absolutely wonderful if the experience of Christians was that as soon as you believe God and it's counted to you as righteousness, you're gone. And that way you don't have to worry about the old nature. You may be gone and waiting for your resurrected body, but you're a new creation. You would be freed from this old man. But that's not the case. When I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not pull me out of planet Earth. He left me here. That's one of the reasons he left me here. Well, the primary one is that we're supposed to go to our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God didn't give the responsibility of sharing the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, the fact that his blood was sufficient to pay for all sins. He does not give that to angels. He didn't give it to trees. He didn't give it to water and clouds. He gave it to us. He gave it to us. But in his wisdom, he has seen fit to go ahead and leave me on planet Earth with this body that is breaking down and these two natures that are hanging behind me. And while I'm supposed to be the mouthpiece for God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have this relentless battle going on behind me. And this is what I want to talk about just a little bit this morning. It would be wonderful if God would go ahead and just remove us. But praise God, he's given us the task to share the gospel. My question is, how well am I doing at that? How well am I doing at taking this good news and going outside of Fairbluff? Oh, it's easy for us to be spiritual in here, isn't it? I mean, everybody talks the same language, and we know the stories, and we're all... What happens when you go out that door? Do you have a fire inside you? Do we really believe that people are dying in their sins to go to an eternity without Jesus Christ, without God? I just encourage us, pull the scales off our eyes. Let's keep challenging each other. It is important for us to go out there and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, with this in mind, we have this relentless battle going on because my old nature wants to still control me, but at the same time, my new nature is there to control me, and I have to make some decisions. And so what Paul is going to be talking about this morning is putting off the old nature and putting on the new. Now, I did a little bit of study in the words that are used here, and there are three words or three little concepts I want us to focus on. One is putting off, the second is renewing, and the third is putting on. Well, putting off and putting on are really, really closely related, and they specifically have to do with clothing. Specifically have to do with clothing. And so if you can conjure up in your mind the idea, we're supposed to put off the old man. We're supposed to grab the old man and sling him off, put him off. And in the same way, we're supposed to grab the new man, and I love the way it's described, and sink into your clothes, sink into the new man. Another little detail, so that was the easy part. The next little detail are some of the details of the verb here. Putting off and putting on are both in the active tense. In other words, we have to be doing it all the time. It's not something that is done once and then it's all done, because that would be great too. I could just say, old man, go away, new man, come on, and then we're all done. No. It's active. And so I would encourage you, as we apply this, it is something we have to do over and over again. We have to evaluate, because we might be successful for 1 minute, but 1 minute later, we may be in the same situation we were before. All that being said, we are to be active on a regular basis. It's in the middle voice, which is interesting. We're not going to be doing the action to somebody else. I'm not going to do the action to Barry. I'm not going to take his old man off. I'm going to do it to me, middle voice. I do it to myself. Each one of us is responsible for this task of removing the old and putting on the new. Another little thing that I think about when I wrestle with this whole topic is the old man is the default. He always wants to come back. He always wants to come back. And it is an exercise of our will to stop him from coming and allow the new man to come on. The old nature, as I said earlier, he's dirty. He's filthy. He's carnal. Gives us bad thoughts. Gives us bad actions. He is unholy and unpleasing to God. The new one, I love it. The way it says in verse 24, look at that. It says, and put on the new self, And I go, wow, which is in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness. That new man is stellar. He is awesome. Little illustration that I think about there is I used to go to church when I was young with just a tie and a shirt on. Maybe I'm regressing and going back to it. But I remember when I was 14 years old, get this, my mother is a professional. She was a professional seamstress. She's with the Lord. She was a professional seamstress. And guess what? We hardly ever went out and bought clothes. But I mean, the only thing that we would get would be socks and underwear. She would do all my pants and my shirts until I got older. And, you know, jeans made by mom weren't quite cool enough, so we would buy those. But when I was 14 years old, she came to me and she said, Glenn, you need to become a young man. You know what she did? It took her several weeks, but she made me this blue suit for me to wear to the church services. This was not any ordinary suit, and I'll tell you why. A suit usually has a pair of trousers and a jacket. Mine had a vest. I had a beautiful blue vest, and it was so cool because it had that satiny material on the back, and it had that little thing that you had to pull through the little alligator clip to hold it there so it could look all good. It had a pocket for a pocket watch. I mean, this was awesome. Brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to do is illustrate to you this new man that we're to put on is awesome. Like God, it is built in and made in holiness and righteousness. It has no sin. It is not evil. It is beautiful. And we can find out from other passages of Scripture, it is what we are going to wear for eternity. So we're encouraged to put on the new man. But now let me dive into the problem. Rhetorical question, but I thought, oh, maybe you can put your hands up for this one. It won't be embarrassing to anybody. How many of you have seen your old man? Oh, so what is, we got some hands up. Have you seen the old? I've never seen the old man. I've never seen the new man. I know what you had your hands up for, and you're ahead of me. You're there. But my point is this. When I look in the mirror, all I see is me. When I look in the mirror, all I see is Glenn. I can't see my old nature and my new nature. I can't see the old man and the new man. And that's the problem. It's almost like with me being at Deloitte and them saying, go ahead and create, first of all, study for this tax question and give us an opinion for this customer and then write it up in Deloitte fashion. And, oh, by the way, you don't get any resources. We're not going to tell you anything. Well, they didn't say that, but that was all hinted. I don't know about you, but I have been so frustrated over all these years because I've had message after message that we're supposed to crucify the old man. We're supposed to put the old man off. And I'm sitting there going, how? I can't touch him. I can't see him. I can't. How am I supposed to get him off if I can't even touch him? Oh, but we have to be spiritual. And so we or at least I will go through this aspect of going, okay, old man, yeah, off and new man on. Nothing tangible. And that frustrated me to no end. So as I was studying this passage, all of a sudden it began to dawn on me, and there's a solution that we can consider for just a minute. The solution. Let me tell you a side story, and it has to do with the world of the atoms. Now, all I did is I just put a simple atom up on the screen. We remember these from school. You've got electrons in their outer shells. We call them valences and shells. We've got protons. We've got neutrons in the middle. absolutely a wonder when we start to think of what God is doing, how you have so many electrons in the first shell, and then physics show that you will go to a second shell, but you'll only fill it up so far before you go ahead and you add a few more electrons in the inside. And depending on how many shells you have and how many electrons in there are going to determine how easy it is for the atom to give off an electron and absorb another electron. And then, of course, we get into the atomic world, and you've got uranium, and now all of a sudden you start having these particles flying around, and you have an object that comes and hits that neutron, and boom, the neutron is blown apart, and protons and neutrons are going in different places. You get the picture? Well, back in 1930, there was a scientist, let me just get the page turned here so I get his name right. Back in 1930, there was a scientist named Wolfgang Pauli, and he was really studying hard on the whole issue of figuring out all the particles that were associated with radioactive decay, so uranium and things like that. He had all the math, all the physics, and he went ahead and postulated. He says the formulas, they suggest that there's something more. There's something else happening when there's a decay of a radioactive particle or radioactive material. The atoms give something off, and we haven't figured it out. That was only back in 1930. In 1955, two scientists got together, Claude Cowan and Frederick Lines, and they did something very special. They detected this new particle that even to this day is called a ghost particle. And the name of the particle is called a neutrino. A neutrino. And a neutrino is something that is given off in the breakdown of radioactive material. And so we know that the sun gives off a lot of neutrinos. And we know that radioactive materials sitting on the shelf give off neutrinos. And we also know that our nuclear power plants give off neutrinos. In 55, they thought they were pretty sure this particle was out there, but they detected it for the first time. Why is it so hard to detect? It's because a neutrino has no charge. And so usually science is going to depend on charges on particles to determine their existence. But a neutrino doesn't have a charge. And a neutrino has almost no mass. So it can't be measured as far as weight. The technology you use to measure other atomic particles, you can't use with a neutrino. I was also fascinated with a neutrino. You know, they may pass right through us at any moment, and you're not going to feel them. In fact, they'll pass right through the Earth and not even decelerate. They are so unaffected by matter and gravity that they're just zinging around, and yet they're an important part in the area of science. I remember at the end of high school, for some reason, I had this in my brain, and I wanted to understand neutrino, and the estimate, and it wasn't my calculation, but the estimate would be that if you could get a wall of lead to head in the direction, and you would just slightly bend the lead and have a neutrino just hit it just right, it would take 36,000 light years of lead for that neutrino to finally grind to a halt. Very, very tiny. Ruth and I went to the Ontario Science Center in Toronto one time, and there was one display, and it was on one of the floors, and you enter into the room, and it was all darkly lit, so just a little bit. I think it was actually lit in black lights, but you could see around. And there was a table in the center, and so we wandered up to the table, and down below the surface was a square, and it was, from what I understand, heavy water, lit from the sides with black light. And as you would watch it, all of a sudden you just see this little phosphorescent trail. Then it would just fade out. Another one this way. Sit down and you read the plaque and you go, those were neutrinos. Nobody's seen a neutrino. But everybody's seen the evidence. And that's what I would like to indicate to you. I just put this picture up here because it kind of looked like what we saw, not with all the clutter, but we would just see a line going through the heavy water indicating a neutrino had gone by. You know, you can't see a neutrino, but what can you see? You can see its evidence that it was there. It left something to indicate that it was going on. My time's almost out, so let me keep going. The strategy. You can't see the old nature and you can't see the new, but we can go ahead and look at the fruit in our lives. And so the old man who we're going to need to be putting off, it is demonstrating its existence. Yeah, I can't turn around. Oh, yep, there's the old man. No, I can find out if the old man is being worn because I'm going to see the phosphorescent trail of its evilness, its wickedness. I know it's on because of its fruit. In the same way, we know the new man is on because of its fruit. And so we're encouraged to go ahead and put it off and put on the new. Repentance, oh, I got the slide for the next. Oh, okay, I see what happened. All right, that's our next section at 11 o'clock. Strategy. What I would encourage us to do is we can't see the old man and the new man, but we can see its evidence. Let me give you an illustration. The other day, I was walking stocking feet, and I went around a corner, and I hit my toes on the door frame. It didn't take but a nanosecond for me to realize who was on. I had some evil thoughts. They were the phosphorescent testimony that the old man was on. Yet there are other times that you're going to be in instances where somebody is hurting and you come up and you share the love of Jesus Christ with them and you are supporting them and you are lifting them up before the Lord and you're giving them comfort and giving them encouragement. I would say you're seeing the phosphorescence of an illustration of the new man being on. Here's the application. This is why it's in the active, because I'm telling you right now, it is a minute-by-minute, repeatable process. When I sat there and I stubbed my toe and I felt all frustrated inside, you know, the first thing that we need to train ourselves to do is back up and say, oh, just a second, I just realized I've got the old man on and I need to take him off. I need God's help to go ahead and stop thinking like the old man. I just sinned because I didn't have holy thoughts. So immediately ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me. And he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep the list short. Lord, help me to put on the new man. Now the renewing. The renewing is interesting because it's done to you. You do not renew your mind. We find out in Titus that it's the Holy Spirit that renews you. So here's the renewing process, I think. And I stubbed my toe on the door, and I realized, old man, Lord, help me. You know what my mind was doing? It was sitting there going, I don't want to give up being angry about that door. And yet as I left with the Lord, I was actively asking him to help me to remove the old man. And I believe the Spirit began to renew my mind to give up holding on to that sinful response. And then I was able to put on the new. Brothers and sisters, it's an incessant battle. It goes on and on and on. And it's something we have to do on a minute-by-minute basis. It's something that, like in aviation, I was constantly looking up at my engine gauges. Oh, it sounded good, but I wanted to know the oil pressure, wanted to know the RPM, wanted to know my fuel flow. Constantly going up and looking. Also looking at the artificial horizon. If you're flying instruments, you're glued to that some of those instruments. Same thing is, we have to train ourselves to constantly evaluate, am I wearing the old man or am I wearing the new man? How do I know my fruit, the old man's fruit of sinfulness and wickedness, is there? Confess it, ask God for help, and put on the new man and face the same circumstance with the way that God would want us to look at. I hope that's a bit of encouragement, because I was just frustrated out of my head to try to figure out, how did I get that old man off when I can't even see or touch him? Our God and Father, we ask for your blessing on this morning. Thank you that you left us here because we have the opportunity to tell loved ones and friends and colleagues and those that we come in contact with of the good news of Jesus Christ. And yet our lips are pretty quiet sometimes. So wake us up. Wake us up. Help us to realize that salvation is so real that we can't do anything but get out there and tell. But in the same way, Father, we acknowledge and realize you've left us here for this job, but we have a challenge, and that is we have the old man and the new. Help us on a minute-by-minute basis evaluate who we're wearing, because our desire and our goal and our love for you wants to have the new man. May these things be encouraging to us, and we pray for your blessing now as we go in fellowship, and pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.